Amen. First Chronicles chapter 12. Glory. Need a bigger pulpit up here. Amen. Verse 23. First Chronicles chapter 12, verse 23. Everybody got it? Amen. Verse 23 says, "And these are the numbers of the bands that were ready armed to the war and came to David to Hebron to turn the kingdom of Saul to him," or to David, "according to the word of the Lord. The children of Judah that bear shield and spear, 6,800. The children of Simeon, 7,100. Verse 26, the children of Levi, 4,600. Verse 27, and Jehoiada was the leader of the Aaronites, and with them, 3,700. And Zadok, a young man mighty of valor, and of his father's house, 22 captains. Verse 29, and the children of Benjamin were 3,000. Verse 30, the children of Ephraim, 20,800. Verse 31, the half tribe of Manasseh, 18,000. Verse 32, and the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. The heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment." Then it goes on, verse 33, of Zebulun, 50,000. Verse 34, of Naphtali, 38,000. The Danites, 28,600. Asher, 40,000. Verse 37, and on the other side of Jordan, and the Reubenites, and the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, 120,000 people. All these men of war that could keep rank came with a perfect heart to Hebron to make David king over all Israel. And all the rest also of Israel were of one heart to make David king. Amen. But verse 32, the children of Issachar were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. If we would pray, if we could pray tonight. Amen. Jesus, we ask, Lord, that you would touch this message, God. Let it accomplish what it needs to, Lord. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that your word would go forth tonight, Lord, and show us out of your word. Strengthen us. Bless us, oh God. Let us be a people directed tonight by your spirit and by your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. You may be seated. So there's approximately 320,000 soldiers, armed men, that are mentioned. And they are gathering to put David as king over Israel. Because as the scriptures read, it lists the large numbers of bands ready armed to war to make sure the kingdom of Saul is turned over to David. But the children of Issachar, as mentioned in verse 32, stand out almost in an odd way. This group of 200 people that are mentioned smack dab in the middle. And again I read, "And the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do." Knowledge is defined as being aware of something and having some information about it. It's really the facts and ideas that we acquire through study, through research, investigation, observation, or experience. But wisdom is the ability to discern and to judge which aspects of that knowledge are true, right, lasting, and applicable in your life. Someone who knows a lot about a certain subject, such as science or history, can be considered knowledgeable. But wisdom comes from observing experiences and learning from them in a way that affects future decisions and behavior. It is the capacity to see truth of a matter in spite of any illusions or distractions. For example, if you overspend yourself financially and find yourself hurting, bankrupt, you have learned a valuable lesson. You get yourself back out, you realize what you did, and you apply wisdom and say, you know what, this is what happened. I overextended myself. And wisdom says, hey, now you know, you've got a little wisdom with your knowledge. That shouldn't happen again. James chapter 1 verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So God is saying, before you make decisions, I'm counseling you to come to me first and ask of me. We should never come to God with our own agenda. Amen. Say, Lord, this is what I'm thinking. This is what I'm going to do. What do you think, Lord? But our heart needs to be, God, I just want to do what's right. Amen. I don't care, Lord, as long as what decision I make, I'm pleasing to you. At 200 people, the children of Issachar were not really a number to brag about. I mean, they came in less than one half of 1%, 200 of them. They were not mentioned because of their strength or their skill levels of weapon mastery. They were not mentioned because they had chariots or horses of thunder. They were not mentioned because they were skilled with the bow or sling or could cast the sling with a left hand or the right hand. But they were people that were gifted with godly insight by understanding the times that they were living in and also giving direction to the nation of Israel on what they should do. The children of Issachar were listed right in the middle of the army's list. As the army census is taken and the roster is formulated, they made sure David would know. King David, you also have the children of Issachar with you, King David. You know men of understanding of the times. They know what Israel should do. They are in agreement with what you're doing, King. Men of understanding, meaning men of discernment, men of good judgment, men of understanding of the times to know what Israel at that time needed to do. To know. It was such a precious ability to actually have some insight and to be led in the direction God needed you to go. Amen. And not only could they discern, but they gave direction. What good would it do with all the armies, having all the armies, all the weapons, but you're going down the wrong path or you're going out for war at the wrong time? Or you're doing the wrong thing. But I believe there was comfort with David knowing that these men that had this reputation were on his side. Amen. You see, the times and circumstances were changing as David was about to be crowned king of Israel. Saul was killed by the Philistines, and the Benjamites had other ideas about the successor to the throne. But the other tribes were in favor of David as their king, and they met in Hebron to turn the kingdom of Saul over to him. And in this tense time in Israel, there was definitely a need for great wisdom to discern and the proper direction for those times. And as we read in our text, the 200 leaders of the tribe of Issachar are highlighted as men who understood what was going on, and they knew exactly what to do. The word understanding in the Hebrew word by now, which means to have insight or to act with prudence. It comes from the root verb that means to separate something mentally and distinguish its parts. The word reflects the presence of intelligence and wisdom, even cunning and skill in the process. In other words, this is not just an understanding of the facts, but a skillful analysis of what something truly means. The sons of Issachar had analyzed their times and had perceived correctly what those times were all about. They knew what to do because they understood what was happening. It was obvious to the sons of Issachar that Saul was not the king that pleased God. David had emerged as a real leader by virtue of his character and ability. Oh, what a key. If we could keep our character good. David was the type of king Israel needed during these turbulent times, troubled times for Israel. Furthermore, hadn't God said that the scepter would come out of the tribe of Judah? So everything's lining up. And David was from that tribe and was indeed fully qualified to be king. But the sons of Issachar knew exactly what to do. All the tribes should get together and crown David as the new king. And the sons of Issachar had the ability to correctly analyze the situation and also provide direction. But now we fast forward to the church age. Amen. There's a new king on the throne. Have you met him? His name is Jesus. His kingdom is established in us. In Acts chapter 1, his disciples were still confused as Jesus met with them for 40 days. And even at the end of those 40 days, they're still asking him questions. Is this now, Lord, the time that you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Oh, they didn't have the insight like the sons of Issachar. At the time, they didn't understand God's agenda, what God was going to do. Jesus says in Acts chapter 1, verse 7, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." To his disciples, he says, "I'm going to turn you into men of understanding of the times, and you will start to understand the things that I'm going to do. But you must first be filled with my Spirit. Because right now you truly don't understand what my master plan is that was spoke of by the prophets." Acts chapter 8, verse 9 talks about Simon the sorcerer. He had power in the community with what he could do in the dark spirit. But when he met Philip preaching, he believed what he was preaching, and he was baptized in Jesus' name, and he became a believer. But something was still in his heart, because when he saw the apostles laying their hands upon people and people being filled with the Holy Ghost, when he saw that power and he saw what was going on, obviously, there was a move of God that Simon wanted. And he said, "You know what? Hey, if you don't mind, could I buy this from you? How much would you sell this for me?" He said, "Give me this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost." But Peter said unto him, "Your money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in thy sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee." Whew, pretty rough on the old new convert. "For he said, for I perceive I discern something in you, Simon. Thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Suddenly, the spirit of Issachar is now becoming into the spirit of the apostles. They're starting to discern things they were never able to discern before. And Simon said, "Pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which you have spoken come on me." Peter put the fear of God in him because he read him. Peter's discernment caused Simon to repent. Amos chapter 9 verse 11 prophesies that in that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen and close up the breaches thereof. And I will raise up his ruins and I will build it as in the days of old. In Acts chapter 15, God began to pour out his spirit upon the Gentiles. And it caused a stir that even those Pharisees that were Christians began to question, wait a minute, we've got people here that are getting filled with the Holy Ghost. I think what we need to do is circumcise them. And it became an uproar. And Peter was telling them, what are you trying to do? Put a yoke back around their neck that your fathers weren't able to bear? Verse 17, he quotes what was prophesied in Amos. Peter says that the residue of the men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. God was educating Peter and the apostles, and they were now knowing that God had poured out a spirit upon us Gentile people, but they were becoming like the sons of Issachar with the wisdom of God. God was using them spiritually to be able to direct the church that it would be birthed properly and correctly. Isaiah 65 and 1 says, as a prophecy, I am sought of them. He's talking about us. I am sought of them that asked not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me, unto a nation that was not called by my name. Oh, he was understanding. You know what, guys? God's doing something here, not just among us Jews, but he's pouring out his spirit upon the Gentiles as well. The apostles had to have the spirit like the men of Issachar, men that had understanding of the times to know what the church needed to do. But the church is still going, still growing, one soul at a time. Every time one person is baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of sins, and when they are filled with the Spirit, one more person is added. Yes, it's a war, trying to save and trying to keep people saved. And we are constantly under attack. All the ministries that deal with saving souls will be under attack. Men and women who need to be on the front lines battling souls will be under attack. We all realize the great price of prayer given for all of us that are here tonight. The struggles that go on behind the scenes and in our homes, warring, fighting, all to bring in a harvest we've been commissioned to do. We definitely need to have the spirit of supernatural warfare. Realizing, like 2 Corinthians chapter 10 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Keeping all areas of your mastery at a high level. Ephesians chapter 6. I know you've heard these scriptures many times, Verse 15 says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." And we could easily say, yeah, I get all that. I've heard that before. But let me add something else that is needed. We need a spirit with us and with inside of us, like the sons of Issachar had, to be a church today that has understanding of the times, to know what we ought to do. Everybody, one by one, to walk in the Spirit of God and to walk in good judgment and wisdom, to be filled with the Spirit of guidance. When the world wants to pull you here and pull you there, and there is confusion and fogginess in your spirit, when it feels like the rug's been pulled out on you, this is the time that you need to stop and ask God for direction. The church needs, God needs, men, husbands, fathers of understanding of the times to know what the church ought to do. The church needs, God needs, women, wives, mothers of understanding of the times to know what the church ought to do. If we don't get this knowing part right in our own personal lives and in our families, where will we end up? To understand the times we are living in and to be wise in the decisions that we make. What good is it to have all the resources that the church offers, strength and power and spiritual weapons that we are provided with and blessings and all the music, all the preaching, but something comes in our lives and we make crucial decisions in the wrong direction because we lack proper understanding and proper spiritual judgment to back away from certain danger zones. And we suffer, and our families suffer, because we can act unwise. And in a moment of time, we can make just a decision that we shouldn't have made. Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 23 prophesies God's people would be taught the difference between the holy and the profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. There has always been God's willingness for his people to be able to discern between good and evil. And this all comes down to us individually. Can we tell the difference today between good and evil? When it creeps into your family, can you stop it immediately? When it comes into your child's life, can you stop it immediately? Or do we have to wait until it grows to an ugly beast and then grab it? We live in a world where you need to take a second look at the babysitter that's going to watch over your kids. We live in a world where up is not always up. You got to ask yourself more questions. Does it look good? God, help me to discern. If something's not right in this area, God, quicken my spirit within me that I can make an immediate correct decision for my family. Protect what you love, and that includes yourself as well. I would rather be accused of being overprotective than being completely naive and having something ugly that I've got to deal with down the road. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, "The word of God is quick, it's powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." The word is there as we read it or have it preached to us. It pierces our very being into our mind and into our heart, where no other thing really could go except God's Spirit. But the Spirit of God wants to talk to us as well. And will give us alarms when he's trying to alert us. Don't be quick to shut it off. That uneasy feeling that you think something doesn't feel right. Something's in my spirit. I don't like the way I'm feeling about this. It just might be God saying, I'm warning you. I'm warning you. Step back. Step back. If your spouse tells you, you know, I know you're all for this, but you better take heed. God might be talking to your spouse. I'm talking about spiritual awareness in these last days, so we are not taken advantage of in any way. Something that God is using to talk to us, if we will listen. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 says, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. And Hebrews 11, 6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. Allow your faith and God's Spirit to talk to you. Trust that he's talking to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 gives us a rundown of the gifts of the Spirit that God gave the church and furnished us. For to one is given the spirit of the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, to another faith by the same spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, and to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kind of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. These are all key for the church. And there are some you may have that you do not realize it. But I believe God has put into all of us a spirit of discernment, being able to discern between good and evil. And being sensitized to it, that when you have those feelings to back away, do it. If we have knowledge and fail at gaining wisdom, then we will not be able to apply the knowledge that we have learned. If we lack knowledge, wisdom, and understanding in an area, talk to your pastor. But always maintain a right spirit. Because you can be right and you can be wrong, just in your spirit. You can be right, but God cannot bless if your spirit's not right. 2 Timothy chapter 3 tells us about the signs of the end. Perilous days are going to come. Perilous days are here. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. How can you turn from those if you cannot make a proper discernment? How will you know who to turn away from and who not to if you're not allowing God's Spirit to move you? And when he moves you, will you listen? For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, it says to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. There's advantages to being sensitive to God's Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 tells us that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. They're cut off. The natural man does not feel God's Spirit moving within them because they don't have his Spirit. God cannot guide them. God cannot protect them and direct them where he wants to. But we must be supernatural. In order for us to survive, we need to have the Spirit of God so filled within us that God is able to direct us. Those who truly want to be saved and fear God will honor the ability to discern and judge righteous judgment. If you want to be saved, if your spirit's right and you're crying out to God, God will direct you. But if you want to play around, you put yourself in a very precarious position. If I could sum it all up, sometimes we don't have Bible verses to tell somebody, don't go there. They say, why not? Don't do that. Well, why not? Show me. But we feel within our spirit, God's saying, they're going in a bad spot. There are times situations will arise in our lives, and maybe we cannot find those exact scriptures. Say, look, I could show you, but they're like, well, that doesn't really apply for today. But within your spirit, you just don't feel right. Proper judgment by the Holy Ghost is what's key. Some people will make their own decisions regardless. But if you truly want what God wants, and you're praying, and you're worshiping him, and there is that spirit within you, there are those spirits, his spirit will guide you. But you must be willing to listen to it. I must be willing to listen to it. Whether it's the answer I want or it's not the answer I want, I must allow God to guide me. We must be a people of good understanding of the times to know what the church and where our families need to go. In the last days, there will be spirits of compromising and lying spirits, hateful spirits, unthankful and unholy spirits, and every ugly spirit that will try to come in and cause havoc. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, but the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord, or the rapture, so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of the light and the children of the day, which are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore do not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. This is not a matter of simply understanding the Bible, as crucial as that is. But we must understand that God's guiding us one by one and guiding this church as well. the ending of our text in 1 Chronicles chapter 12. After the armies are listed and the sons of Issachar, it says in verse 39, and there they were with David 3 days, eating and drinking, for their brethren had prepared for them. It goes on to say, moreover, they that were nigh them, even unto Issachar and Zebulun and Naphtali, brought bread on asses and on camels and on mules and on oxen and meat, meal, cakes of figs and bunches of raisins and wine and oil and oxen and sheep abundantly, for there was joy in Israel. There will be no problem with having joy in our lives, joy in the church, if we allow God to direct us and God to move us. And say, Lord, I don't know where you're taking me, but I'm ready to go where you lead me. We need to be a people of skilled analysis spiritually. Say, you know, I know it looks convenient to do that, but I'm not feeling good in my spirit about it. That's enough. That's enough. But there was joy in Israel. And when we have a spirit within us that is sensitized and directs us, and we're willing to pray and ask God for every situation, Lord, help me. I don't really know which way to go, but I'm going to rely on your spirit to guide me and talk to me. And whether 100 people are going and doing, it does not matter. If you would stand with me. Every generation needs leaders who can understand the times that we are in and to know what to do in the times that we are in. That needs to be our prayer in this generation. You that are parents, pray, God, help me direct my family. Lord, help us to understand these times and the direction I need to take. Like the men of Issachar, they were only 200, not even a weapon in their hands. But what they brought, discernment, knowledge, incredible. We can fight all day long. We can pray and we can worship and all that. But if we're not willing to listen to the Spirit to guide us, we could head off in the wrong direction. So tonight, I'm just preaching to myself as well, that I am sensitive to the Holy Ghost in the areas of my life so that I will have joy at the end of my life, just like at the end of this chapter. Amen. This altar's open.